Members, we're going to call the meeting to order. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from March 25th and March 26th? Representative McNamer moves. Any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. Our first bill on the agenda for today is House File 2602, Representative Mullery. I'll move that House File 2602 be re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration. Representative Mullery, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill arose from a Supreme Court decision a couple of months ago, which reversed the way that the statute was always read by courts, and in essence said that the word and doesn't mean and, but in essence they interpreted it as or. What its statute said was whoever is legally obligated to provide care and support to a spouse or child. And they said that it doesn't mean you have to provide both. It means that if you provide just care, which I think they also said was very vague, you could not be charged, even though you provided no support. And so that was a complete reversal. They used some theorem I've never heard of and to get at that decision. So we're just trying to correct what it always was the way it was treated, as if you're not paying your court-ordered support and then there's certain conditions, then you can be charged criminally. And Mark Ponsel from the Ramsey County Attorney's Office, who handles these cases, is here to explain it further or answer questions.
Thank you, Representative Mullery. And Mr. Ponsel, if you'd like to state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, Madam Chair. Mark Ponsel, P-O-N-S-O-L-L-E. I'm an assistant Ramsey County attorney, and I'm also representing the Minnesota County Attorneys Association, who is in support of this bill. As I'll keep my remarks short and would be more than willing to answer any questions. Representative Mullery, I think, outlined the issue fairly well. What we're trying to do is narrowly craft a fix to the concern the Minnesota Supreme Court had, and we're trying to be consistent with the intent as we saw it over many years of the legislative intent. So the bill would just get rid of the words care and in line 1.6 of House File 2602, and then add in line 1.7 court order to make it clear in the definition of the crime what the intent of the legislature was and continues to be. There are a couple other places in the bill where we add court ordered just to emphasize again what we're talking about. But with that, I'd be more than willing to answer any questions, Madam Chair.
Are there questions from members? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just curious as to why we're just now hearing this. I know Representative Lohmer had an identical bill. She introduced the first day of session, and we're kind of beyond deadline and so forth. Well, I'm just wondering why this didn't get moved a little bit faster.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mullery.
Thank you. Actually, Representative Lohmer, I've talked to her about it, and she's fine with this. She understands the county attorneys want this bill, and it isn't an identical bill. Hers is different, takes a different approach, and I've talked to her about it, and she said just go ahead. I asked her if she wanted to have hearing at the same time. She said no. It's not an election bill, to say the least. It was introduced and came to the last committee on March 2nd, so you'd have to ask that chair why it didn't get heard.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from members? Seeing none, I'll renew my motion that House File 2602 be re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion carries. Thank you, Representative Mullery. Next bill on the agenda, Representative Hillstrom, House File 2455.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. This bill was actually laid on the table. We heard the policy provisions originally. I laid it over, said that there needed to be additional work done. So I believe you have to take it from the table, Madam Chair.
Representative Hillstrom, I'm being told that it was originally just laid over, not laid on the table, so I think we can just proceed.
Okay, great. So, members, this is the court reporter bill, and members, we have an amendment in your packet to put the bill in the shape that the author would like it, and I'm hoping that you'll put that on the bill. Members, this issue, when I laid it on the table the last time, I said that there were some controversial pieces that folks needed to work out. People are still working. The court, the Judicial Council is not quite there yet. They are not in favor of what we've got going on, but they're meeting on April 17th?
Yes.
They're meeting on April 17th with all folks involved. So what I'm hoping is that we can put the bill in the shape I would like it, send it to the Rules Committee so that they have the opportunity to meet on April 17th, and then whatever some of those agreements work out, we can salvage some of the pieces of this bill and move the issue forward. So with me, I have some testifiers if they can talk about what the amendment is before we put it on.
Go ahead. First of all, Representative Hillstrom moves that House File 2455 be re-referred to the Committees on Rules and Legislative Administration. And then it looks like you have three amendments, Representative Hillstrom. Do you want to start with testimony or move any of them before we go to testimony?
Madam Chair, because we took testimony on all of the underlying provisions, I'd really just like to talk through the amendments and what it is that we're trying to do and what pieces we take out. I don't want to rehear the whole bill that we heard testimony on earlier, if that's okay with members.
Okay, great. If the testifiers could state their name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Carrie Simey. I'm an attorney and business agent with Teamsters Local 320 in Minneapolis. And with me today is one of our court reporter stewards, Margaret Morgan, who works for Judge Chase in Rochester, Minnesota, and she has been very active in drafting the amendments that are before you today. Just by way of some background, Teamsters Local 320 represents approximately 225 court reporters across the state of Minnesota. And these court reporters, some work individually with judges in the various courthouses, while others, particularly in Hennepin County, work in a situation that is known as the central monitoring room, whereby one court reporter can capture up to four courtrooms at once using a technology called CourtSmart. Our members not only capture the record, however, it is their job also to transcribe a verbatim transcript of what takes place in a court setting for attorneys and judges and appellate courts to use when deciding legal questions. We are requesting that these amendments be adopted for several reasons. Number one, if you look at 486.02 at Section 2 of the A4 amendments, we are requesting that stenographic record be changed to official record to reflect current practice in the court system and the fact that several different methods are routinely used in the court system to capture the record in addition to stenographic. So we request changes throughout that section to delete a reference to stenographer or stenographic and replace it with court reporter to capture all methods used. However, I would draw the committee's attention to Section 3, and on page 2, in particular, lines 1.24 through 2.2, we are asking that a reference to a stenographer be left alone in that section of the bill, because in Hennepin County right now, proceedings are monitored through the CMR remotely, but judges are able to request an in-person reporter, whether that person be a stenographic reporter or an electronic reporter, to be physically present in the courtroom, as is common throughout the state, except for Hennepin County. So we would like to leave that reference in there to reflect that practice, primarily in Hennepin County. Some of this language that we are proposing is not new to the statutes. Much of it is being transferred from 484.72 to create this new section 486.025. I could walk the committee through that more upon request. What we are also looking to do, to be able to do through this legislation, is to ensure the integrity of the record and the efficiency of the court system. In some cases, in many cases, where an official court reporter is not being used to capture the record, a district court clerk who is not a professional court reporter simply presses the record button and walks away. And that's all that they should be required to do. They're not court reporters, and it's not their job to ensure the accuracy of the record. But by providing that official court reporters shall operate the equipment used to capture the record except when they're unavailable, we can make sure that those records are accurate and that they are being captured, and that there aren't sections that are inaudible, sections inadvertently skipped because the tape ran out, sections that are deleted inadvertently. In other words, the record will be captured professionally so a transcript can be made verbatim of the proceedings, and it will promote efficiency in the court system as well, since if something is inaudible, a mistrial can be declared and they have to start all over again, resulting in significant expense to the court system. The other section that I would, in particular, two sections, subdivision 4 and subdivision 5 on page 2 of the bill. A couple of concerns advanced by the Judicial Council at their April 20th meeting was that requiring court reporters to operate all equipment would result in significant expense to them. We tried to answer that in subdivision 4. Current practice is that each judicial district can have a reassignment policy for court reporters in the event an emergency comes up, and really they have to utilize a clerk or cancel court. Canceling court would be expensive. So we recognize that there are situations, hopefully very limited situations, where a court reporter will be unavailable and really they have to utilize clerks to record. But in accordance with those judicial district practices and the collective bargaining agreement, we're fine with using the clerks in very limited circumstances. So hopefully there will not be any additional cost, and it's our intent not to have any additional cost imposed. The second concern raised by the Judicial Council was that in expedited child support matters, clerks or even, I think, magistrates sometimes routinely just tape record those proceedings, and that it would also be very expensive to require a court reporter in those matters. But in Subdivision 5, and that's really just reflecting current statute, we don't have any objection to maintaining current practice and simply allowing those proceedings to be recorded, and that also reflects current practice. So with that, and take any questions.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And members, this language is what has been proposed to the Judicial Council, and that's what they're going to meet about and talk about. And so, again, it's my goal to just put it on the bill and then go park the bill in the Rules Committee to see if we can't get some agreement and resolution between now and the end of session.
Are there questions from members? Seeing none, would you like to adopt the amendments then?
Yes, Madam Chair.
I'll move the A140836 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion carries. And I'll move the A141054 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion carries. And the I'll move the A4 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion carries. Representative Hillstrom, do you have any further comments?
That's it, Madam Chair. I just ask for members to allow me to send this this bill on to the Rules Committee to see if we can't get some agreement and resolution.
Looks like we have a question from Representative Drazkowski.
Madam Chair, can Mr. Carlson come down and talk about kind of his perspectives on the bill and the process?
Mr. Carlson, would you like to come down? If you could please state your name for the record and address Mr. or Representative Drazkowski's question.
Oh, it's a low one today. thank you, Madam Chair and members. Joel Carlson. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Verbatim Captioners and Reporters, and we don't have objections to what is being advanced here. And I actually had the opportunity to appear in front of the Judicial Council, a relatively intimidating group of 24 Supreme Court, appellate court, and district court judges around the state about 2 weeks ago and talk through these issues. We're happy to meet with them again on the 17th and talk through this language as well. I don't think there are significant concerns about the underlying bill. I think that the amendment that we've adopted is what I think they want to discuss in greater detail. There are a couple provisions in the bill as it relates to freelance reporters, sections 4 and 5 of the bill, that are very important to the court reporting industry, and we hope they advance in whatever form we can get those done, regardless of what happens on the 17th with the Judicial Council.
Are there any other questions from members? Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess maybe just a comment. And, technology is changing rapidly, and your Representative Hillstrom incorporating some of that into the bill. It seems that there's really opportunity, I think, for us to find ways here, maybe in this bill, in this process, and maybe even in the future, but hopefully sooner than later. It seems to me the judge could even push the button in order to make the recording happen, and maybe there's two recorders, one is a backup, and maybe technology is advanced enough that he doesn't even have to push the button. Maybe it's, I don't know. I know that there's a lot of technological capability, and at the same time we've even got a union for this group, which doesn't surprise me, but in a way does. I would hope and encourage that we could find somebody to do this in a way that's most respectful of the taxpayers.
And Madam Chair?
Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair and members, Representative Drazkowski, I think everyone in the court system is looking for, both practitioners and employees looking for ways to make the system more efficient. Just want to make sure that we understand, though, that when it is your liberty that's on the line, and when it is your civil rights that are online, or your civil remedy that's on the line, you want to have a complete and accurate record. And I think the comments of Ms. Simey relative to having an electronic recording fail is what I think part of the discussion is about. When you don't have a real-time reporter taking the record, and then what happens when you don't. And that official record, which is what the court reporter takes down, is very important to all of everyone in the state that has to appear in court, because you want an accurate verbatim record of what took place. And you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You cannot go back and redo it. And so that's why we're trying to be as protective as possible of making sure the official record is maintained in a fair and impartial way. That's what I think these changes are about. So let's not lose sight of what, you know, of what the court reporter actually does in the courtroom. And it isn't simply just pushing a button, because when you go and try and transcribe a recording of a felony trial or of an important civil case, and there are gaps in the record, that is a real problem for the public and for people that depend on our court system. So that's what I think the discussion is really about, is making sure that we have the best technology possible for maintaining that official record of court proceedings.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Carlson. I didn't mean to minimize the need for us to do the right type of job here, and I hope you didn't mean to minimize the capability of our technology nowadays, because it is, the capabilities are very high, and I don't know to what level they're deployed in the courts. My sense is they might be able to be deployed even more completely and intricately, in ways that might even be able to provide better quality of hearing than someone at one particular place in the courtroom. So I think we can't minimize that reality as well.
And Madam Chair, and Representative Drazkowski, absolutely don't minimize that at all. And technology is awesome and amazing. And when you go and listen to a legislative debate, like we've all had to do, and you hear people talking in their microphones while the hearing is going on, and you're talking to your lawyer, and you're disclosing things that are attorney-client privilege, and that gets picked up on a tape, that's a problem. And that's what we're really wanting to make sure we have the right technology in place, because you know, there are opportunities for problems to develop that no one would want to have divulged that are picked up on this awesome technology that we're all using. So,
Questions from members? Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I represent Hilson. I've sat in many courtrooms, a lot of felony trials, a lot of misdemeanor trials, a lot of petty misdemeanor trials. I do have a concern with subdivision 3 on the amendment, where a case could be a mistrial could be called if there's any errors or problems with the electronic recording. I don't have a problem having the especially felony cases with the electronic recording being a backup to the actual person doing the recording or actually doing a manual recording, because unfortunately technology fails. I've been in court when the stenographer's machine malfunctioned and quit working. We had to stop the case and she had to go find a borrow machine from somebody else to finish the court trial. What concerns me is, especially on some of these felony cases, is in a CSC case. It is very traumatic for that victim to actually have to tell in public what happened. And if the case is declared a mistrial because of the electronic recording failed, she now has to do that again. And so I'm real concerned with that. I'm a little concerned about having especially felonies being allowed to just do electronic recording.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing that issue up. That's actually current law. And so all we're doing is moving that section of law to another section. It's under currently in current law under 484.72, electronic recording of court proceedings, section 5. Under current law, it is there can already be a mistrial for the malfunctioning. So we're moving that from one section to another. I, too, am very concerned about that, which is why we need to have people monitoring to make sure that whatever it is that's being said is being recorded, because we don't want to have mistrials. We don't want to have the Court of Appeals throw it out because they can't tell what was said. So that's the reason we continue to work on it.
There are other questions from members. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to be heard? Seeing none, Representative Hillstrom renews her motion that House File 2455, as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion prevails.
Thank you, members. I think this was our last hearing for the legislative session. You have been a fantastic group to work with. Thank you so much.
Members, we are adjourned.